Hello, everyone. Welcome to Office Hours, Wednesday night. I'm here for a couple of hours. We'll coach, we'll talk, we'll do all kinds of fun things, right? So here's how this works. If you are new to Office Hours, you just come in. And if you want to talk to me, you raise your hand at the bottom of your Zoom screen. There's a little hand. You just raise your hand. I will call on you. We will coach. If you guys want to talk amongst each other, go ahead and use the chat feature, but make sure you're talking to all panelists and attendees. If you have a question for me, you can use the Q&A. And I would really prefer if you're not driving. So that would be awesome. And your internet connection is in pretty good shape so that we can hear you and see you very easily. Okay, so let's see who we got here tonight. We have Melissa, Ala, and Deanna with their hands raised. So Melissa, you're first. Hello.
Hey, Ms. Kathy. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Hi. Long time no see.
Yeah, I'm glad to see you. I'm glad you're here.
Awesome.
How are things going?
Pretty good. Let me just get through my notes. I didn't want to waste your time, so I just made a list.
Oh, you're fine.
Coaching questions. Mm-hmm. So I actually have three questions.
Okay.
The first one is just an issue that I think I need some coaching on.
Okay.
So I've realized just through my planning, not just for my food, but like planning my schedule, I work through the time management mm-hmm. workshop. I also went and listened to Brooke Castillo's, some of her time management mm-hmm. Podcasts that throw away your to-do list mm-hmm. those mm-hmm. and I realized that not just with my 24-hour plans but with my schedule plans that I plan really well. I take the time to plan mm-hmm. I sit and plan and work, but I don't always show up mm-hmm. for my plan. I take all the time to do all the planning and then I'm just reading my notes here. Mm-hmm. The same with my 20-hour plan. I do the plan. And then it's sort of fluid in my mind. And like with my 24-hour plan, hi. I'm so sorry. I asked my husband to get her. Phoebe, go to dad right now. I'm so sorry. So like with my 24-hour plan, hi. We'll make the plan, and then like if something comes up, then it's really easy for me to say, okay, well, I'll make a healthy trade or something else. But that plan in my mind is sort of fluid, and I think I'm doing the same things with my schedule. I'll do my brain dump at the beginning of the week, and I'll put all of those things on my calendar, and then when it comes time for me to do the thing, whatever the thing may be, many times I'll find something else to do other than that thing. And I've worked a lot. I've done a lot of thought work around it and identified some areas of buffering and just some procrastinating and just mm-hmm. waiting. But I haven't quite been able to kind of push my way through those things yet. And I wondered if you had any just like some small steps or some beginning points or some tips just to kind of help me get through things like that.
So have you noticed any trends, any specific thoughts that you're thinking when, you know, the action line is procrastinate or choose something else or anything like that? Is there anything, have you done any work on trying to analyze whether or not there's a trend going on?
Well, usually I don't. I've gotten really good at watching my thoughts mm-hmm. and I can see a thought flip into my head, and I never believed it before. But after listening to a lot of Brooke's podcasts and then a lot of Corinne's stuff too, mm-hmm. one of them one time said, just wait for a thought. And when you see it, take that out and just look at it for a little bit and see what that is. And I was like, that sounds so ridiculous. But I've learned to kind of do that.
Yeah.
Like, hey, well, there's a thought. Where in the world did you come from? And let's think about you for a little bit. So I've learned to do that really well. But the thoughts that I have typically are, oh, well, I really need to get this done. Oh, well, I need to get this done. Well, I need to do this. And I at first I thought, well, maybe it's something that's a little less painless to do. Not that things are painful, but, you know, something that generates a little less discomfort. And then a couple of times I've found that it's usually things that I don't know exactly where to start, or things that I can't do just on autopilot, mm-hmm. things that I actually have to engage and think about. And like, maybe I don't know exactly how to get started. For one, it was actually a writing project that I took mm-hmm. on, and it was just a little bit of freelance work. And I usually love that. Like, I really love writing. And I'm usually really excited when I get extra work. That means extra money, especially if it's something that I can do in my own time. But this one particular piece that had been requested, I was like, I don't even know how I'm going to begin that. And I mean, I use all my tools, like just sit down and free write, just brain dump it all out. But I kept finding lots of other things, valid things, and usually things that people would put off, like, the night that I really noticed it, like, I changed the cat litter and started that project. So that's when I knew I was having trouble.
I suspect it's just a buffering tool for you. It's avoiding the discomfort of getting started on something you're, you know, a little uncertain about how to do.
Okay.
Right? Sometimes what I find myself doing is I create this big story about what it is that I'm avoiding, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be terrible. It's going to take so long. I don't know how to do it. It's going to be this collection of thoughts that are really, like, not serving me at all, right? Individually, they don't help. You put them all together in the same story and, you know, it's just a hot mess for Kathy anyway. And then once
I'm so glad to hear you say that.
But what I almost always find is once I get started, it's never as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Right.
Right? I mean, is that what you find too?
Yes. And usually once I get started, like, especially if it's something that's a workflow mm-hmm. thing, then I can just kind of, once I find my place to kind of jump in there, mm-hmm. Then I do. And the other thought that I noticed, because I knew you were going to ask me that, was I can't do this right now because I don't have, I can't focus completely on this. I mean, it still has to be done and the work has to be done. And I may not have my complete and undivided attention. Like, I may have kids or things like that going, and I'll tell myself, oh, I can't do that right now. Mm-hmm. But it's things that have to be done. Yeah. And it's a decision. I think what's bothering me is that it's a decision that I've made during my planning time on the weekend. Mm-hmm. I've looked at my schedule. Mm-hmm. I fully understood mm-hmm. that I would not have complete and undivided attention to attend to this task at that point. And I still put it on my schedule anyway. Like, when I wasn't in the moment, I thought through it and said, okay, this is the best time mm-hmm. to do this particular activity. But then I get there to the moment of doing it, and
you just hear that excuse in your head about why you shouldn't do it.
Right.
Which is again, the avoidance technique that your brain is giving you. So now that you know this, you can have a thought to answer it. Like, it's never as bad as I think it's going to be. Or it never takes as long or as much attention as I think it's going to, as my brain tells me. You know, that's seriously what I do. Really? I'll get a project from Corinne and I'll think, oh, I'll never get this. I don't know how I'll ever do this. Say, blah, blah, blah. And then I get sit down and do it. It takes like 30 minutes. And I'm like, what? Why? You know, where was the story that came? So that's what you do. You catch yourself in your own stories. You do this with your work projects. You do this with your 24-hour plans too, right? Mm-hmm. If it comes time for dinner and you've got something planned and you've got it figured out, and your husband comes in and he says, you know, I'd really rather have this than that. How hard is it to say, we can have that tomorrow because this is what I have planned for tonight?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little uncomfortable because you want him to be happy. You want to please him. So right. You give up your plan to make him happy, and hey, honestly, he probably wouldn't care that much, right? I don't know. You just come back to, I think that would be really great too. And this is a little uncomfortable for me to say, but I'm going to put me first. And then he's like, okay, whatever makes you happy, Melissa.
Usually, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's so funny because I totally get this. I would do the same thing with Ken. Ken just came in a minute ago and he says, what are we supposed to have for dinner tonight? And I said, well, we have the little flatbread pizza recipe that I'm going to make after office hours. And he says, okay, because if it was going to be soup, I was going to see if we could go out. And, you know, because we've already had soup a couple of times this week, because I made a big thing of soup, right? And I told him, I said, you know, let's just evaluate, because we might have that soup tomorrow. Otherwise, you know, we'll figure it out. And he was, okay. You know, it wasn't that big a deal. If I asked him to eat soup one more night, he would be fine. He, you know, he would just be fine. So my point is, sometimes we have to get out of our own way and call ourselves on our excuses to make these plans happen. And our brains are really good at catastrophizing what we need to do. That's going to be hard. You don't have enough attention. I don't know if that's enough time. When the worst that can happen is that you get started and one of the kids comes in and wants your attention. Or you get started and you realize you didn't budget enough time. That's the worst that can happen, but at least you got started.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so really it's just do it anyway and give myself a sentence of,
yeah.
Okay, but this is what we plan.
Catch yourself in avoiding the discomfort of getting started. No matter what, say, I'm going to do this no matter what. Even though my brain is like crazy town right now, I'm going to do this. Because this is what I told myself I would do. This is also practicing keeping your commitments to yourself rather than breaking your commitments to yourself.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Question number two.
Okay.
If I can ask two in one call, if that's okay.
Go for it.
This one is a little more challenging. So someone in my family recently betrayed me, like betrayed my trust. And and I almost said a really hurtful way, but I've listened to all the podcasts. I've mm-hmm. listened to it all. And I know that no one can hurt my feelings. You know, my thoughts hurt my
mm-hmm.
feelings. But, and I know what to do. Like, I know what I should do. Like, I know that I'm the one that's feeling mm-hmm. all of these feelings of like hurt and betrayed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not the first time that they've broken my trust in this way, or betrayed me, and not always the exact same way, but the same kind of thread of behavior. And it's starting to really like affect our holidays. Like we're going into the holiday season and the things that we normally do, our family traditions. And, so I keep telling myself, okay, don't think that.
Don't think what? What is the thought you're telling yourself not to think?
Well, like I'll find myself starting to kind of relax into and like have fun and mm-hmm. smile and laugh and just kind of go on about things with the family. And then it's like a thought of, don't do that. Don't drop your guard
mm-hmm.
or you're going to wind up hurting me. And so I find myself like really pulling back and, like everybody's noticing it. Like my kids are even in certain situations. They're like, Mom, what's wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to be just really even keel.
Mm-hmm.
but it was just so recent and so like in this particular relationship, I thought that was probably the best this relationship had ever been. Mm-hmm. And so I was in like a totally secure place, and I'm not typically really insecure, especially not in that relationship. And so I'm just like, I'm having so much trouble with it, and I don't like, it's almost like I know how to get past it, but I don't want to. Like, I know, okay, I can think, like, what I think is that person is always going to do this. I'm always going to wind up right back here. I'm never going to be able to trust this person again. And I know that what I need to do to quit feeling this way is to let go of those thoughts and get another thought. But it's almost like I don't want to, because I feel like if I let go of those thoughts, then maybe I'm going to wind up looking foolish, or I'm not going to be prepared for it the next time.
What's wrong with knowing that the behavior of this particular person is, you know, not something that you agree with, and having a relationship with them anyway?
I think maybe that, I think maybe that they know that it violates my trust and it violates a boundary. Mm-hmm. And that it, well, and I keep trying to say that it hurts me, and then I catch myself, it doesn't hurt me.
Yeah, your thought hurts you. Your thought. Yeah. So here's, this is what, I hope I don't hang myself with this cord. So your family member did something. Okay. Whatever it was. We'll put that in a C line. We'll give that to you. Your thought is, they betrayed my trust. Do you see that as the thought line?
No, I think in my, like, and with my models, like, I'm looking at the models that I've done, mm-hmm. the pile of models that I've done in the mm-hmm. last few weeks. And no, they betrayed my trust is always my C line.
Right.
My T line.
So what's your thought line? If the feelings line is hurt, what are you putting in the thought line?
They don't love me.
I think that's another model. Right? So we have this family member. The thought is, they don't love me. I don't know if you can see this over there or not.
I can.
They don't love me. This is the hurt model. When I say they betrayed my trust, how does that make you feel? Is that hurt, or is that angry, or something else?
Thank you. Both, like all of that. I think full range of emotion.
What's the strongest one?
I think the strongest one that I've had is just like sorrow.
Sorrow. Mm-hmm. Okay. So sometimes the reason you do two different models when you have all these different emotions is because sometimes your action lines are different for sorrow than they are for hurt. Sometimes they're not, but that's why you do multiple models when you have multiple thoughts or multiple feelings. Okay. Mm-hmm. But back to this, let's say, well, you must not want to tell me what they did. So I'm going to leave that space there, and that's okay. But whatever they did, would everyone in the world feel betrayed by that?
Maybe not.
Right. When you say in your mind, he or she did this, is it like neutral as the day is long for you, or does it make your stomach hurt and bring up that welling of, yeah, that's how you know that they betrayed my trust is a thought. Okay. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah. When I tell you, when I tell you they betrayed your trust, that makes you sad, right? Makes you feel sad, makes you feel hurt. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes. So that's not a circumstance, because it's not neutral, it's not a circumstance, and the circumstance always has to be neutral. Yeah. I listened to Betsy's lab. Okay.
Now Yeah. So when you're doing these models, you come down here to your action line, and when you're sad, what do? When you have feel this sorrow, what do?
Cry.
Cry. What else?
I just walk away. Like I excuse myself from all the situations so I can go somewhere and cry.
Right. Anything else?
No, that's usually it right now.
So what do you think this result is? If you're crying and walking away from this person who you have this sorrowful feeling about because they betrayed your trust.
Well, it just negatively impacts everybody around me.
Yeah. Well, but everybody around you doesn't go in your result line. Only you go in your result line. So in this case,
it just makes me think about it more. Like I just sit and dwell on that one thought and I just keep running through the cycle.
Yeah. Dwell and the thought goes up here because that's an action.
And it doesn't fix any. Yeah. And the result is the relationship is the same. It's still broken.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're actually turning your back on the relationship as well. Right. Because you've withdrawn from it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So. And then this model, they don't love me and hurt. When you're hurt in a relationship, when you hurt because you think someone doesn't love you, how do you feel? What are you doing?
Then I try to hurt them.
Mm-hmm. Hurt them back.
Or I don't show them any kind of love or emotion.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't show love. Don't feel love. Right?
Yeah.
And when you're acting like that, are you loving yourself? Right. Right. So that's really what the result line is here. You don't love yourself. You don't show up your best. All those things, right, in the relationship. Now, I just did these so that you could see what your models are right now, okay? Mm-hmm. And I want you to see that this is a thought and that when you think this, you're not trying to repair the relationship. You're not trying to accept the relationship. You're not trying to repair your own thoughts about the relationship when you're staying in this model.
Okay.
So your part of the relationship is 100% up to you. And if you take a relationship at its very, the very heart of its definition, if you've done the Mastering Relationships course, you'll know this. The relationship is totally defined by how you show up. Okay. It's all about you because you decide what feelings you have about the person. So you could choose to have with this particular person, you could choose any number of feelings. You go that feelings wheel and you could choose anything from love to neutral and in between. Maybe you don't want to feel anything for them, but maybe you don't want to feel love for them. Maybe you want to feel acceptance, or maybe you want to feel compassion, or maybe you don't. Maybe you just want to feel nothing at this point. Or maybe right now you want to feel hurt, and that's okay too. You get to pick.
It's a thought ladder.
Well, this is not a good one because it doesn't go from the bottom to the top. Right, but it does hurt.
It's like a feelings ladder. Like if I can't if I can feel this right now, then maybe I can pick something a little bit further down. And I can feel that until I can step up.
Right. But I want you to know that if you feel like your emotional well-being you're in charge of your emotional well-being. If you're feeling hurt, because of a relationship, you can choose to be hurt for a little while. You can choose avoidance. You can choose whatever you want in order to repair your own emotional well-being being before you work your way up the thought we'll call it the feelings ladder. Okay.
Well, that's really like when you drew that, that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah. Yeah. If you know that this person has a habit of doing what they did, you're in order to have a relationship with them, you're going to have to work on this one right here, acceptance, because they are not going to change for you. You have an expectation that they act a certain way or do a certain thing with the information or trust or whatever it is you give them, and they're not fulfilling those expectations, right? So let's say this is a cousin you told a secret to and they blabbed it to the whole town, right? This has happened a couple of times. You're hurt. You're sad. You feel betrayed. Maybe you find a middle road with this cousin where you still talk to them, but you don't tell them the things you don't want the whole town to know. That's how you work in a relationship with acceptance of who that person is. You find that place, if you want to preserve the relationship, you find that place where you're comfortable in it.
Okay.
So you have a couple of choices. Do you want to preserve the relationship? How do you preserve your own well-being in the relationship? How do you accept this person for the person that they are if you decide to continue the relationship?
Okay.
Does that help? And I would totally make a feelings ladder. You're good with the model. You work your models. Start with where you are, hurt, sorrowful. Decide, you know, where do I want to go one day? It might not be love, and that's okay. It might just be acceptance. It might be neutral. Where do you want to go? And start, you know, if hurt is where you are, work that model now and be okay with being hurt. It's all right to be hurt. You don't have to change it. It's all right to protect yourself. You don't have to change that. Okay?
Can you help me with a thought? Just a thought. I need to come up with a thought.
Okay.
Going to keep me in the room and engaged.
All right. So your C line is what?
I guess just this person did something.
Okay. Let's try something else. Your action is stay in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And what does engaged mean?
I guess just normal. Just enjoy time around this person.
Okay. Enjoy time. Do you talk to them?
Yeah. And I forget. Like, I will honestly forget for a few minutes. I'll forget everything that's going on and just enjoy myself. And then, like, okay. I'll remember. And then I'm just like,
Here. So, in order to stay in the room and enjoy time with them and talk with them, how do you have to feel?
Not hurt. I guess maybe just neutral.
Okay.
Right?
I don't know. I think neutral might be a stretch. If I told you right now that person is in the other room, you have to go in there and talk to them for 15 minutes, are you going to feel neutral? Or are you going to feel... guarded.
Guarded, yeah. Guarded is probably, yeah.
Okay. So what you want to do then is gin up guarded. Right? Okay. What result are you looking to create by staying in the room, enjoying time and talking to them?
Mm. Well, I guess that's where the problem is, because what I'm trying to create is not really a result for me. I'm trying to create a result for my kids and for the rest of my family. I just enjoy the holidays and not even know anything's wrong.
Okay.
Really, I'm guarding everybody else, I think, at this point. So
what do you want?
My result?
I mean, you're guarding everyone else. This is what you do. You take care of everyone else, right? All the kids, all the trips to the doctors and the schools and the everything's, right? What do you want? If you want to stay, do you want to stay in the room and talk to this person?
No.
Not really, right?
No. I know that's terrible right now, but I don't.
Well, that's the hurt, right? Yeah. We're back in that hurt model.
Right. I think this is all, like, I feel like this is all drama because it's the holidays. And so I'm like, okay, just get through this, you know, just get through all of this.
What's the benefit to getting through all this? Just to ignore it for a little while, put it off.
My kids are happy.
Are they?
My kids have horrible memories associated with holidays.
What about you? You're going to have horrible memories associated with the holidays?
I don't know. Maybe not. If I could just kind of
fight my way through. Yeah, I think what this model does, I think this is an avoidance model. I do.
We don't want that. An avoidance model. Okay.
What do you think? Is that an avoidance?
Yeah.
It's an avoidance model, right?
Yeah, it is.
Because
it
you pretend everything... If you pretend everything is A-okay, you don't have to think about it. You can not think about it for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have essentially asked Miss Kathy to please help me avoid my feelings. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Okay.
There are no feelings that you should not feel. You should feel them all. You should not avoid any of them. Because if you don't feel your feelings, you will not resolve them, regardless of who they're about or what the C line is or the thought. You won't resolve your feelings if you don't feel them. So if you want to put this on hold for a better day, you can certainly choose to do that. But I want you to see that as a choice and not use the holidays as an excuse to avoid whatever's going on.
Okay. I get it.
Just make a choice and be okay with the choice that you make.
Okay.
Okay. Does that help?
It does. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I didn't realize I was looking. Like, I was looking for a model that would help me. Yeah. I've become so used to doing my models. I can do them in my head. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. analyze the thought that I was looking for an avoidance model.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you're using the holidays and the kids and let's make sure the family's happy and all that kind of stuff as a way to fit in your bubble of sadness.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Miss Kathy.
Sorry.
No. I needed somebody else that was outside of my brain and to look at it and just say, this is what you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question. It's an easy one. I know you guys do private coaching,
mm-hmm.
but do you guys ever do like semi-private coaching or like coaching of an accountability group where they all share like maybe an hour with you?
No, not really. That's an interesting question though.
Okay. It was just a thought. I was talking with an accountability partner and then some other folks and just saying, okay, like I may not need a whole hour, you know, by myself, but we could all share an hour.
Yeah.
So maybe something to think about in the future then.
It might be, you know, I do have, I can tell you, on some office hours, there will be whole accountability groups and they'll be cheering each other on going, okay, it's your turn next, or come on in, you know, the water's fine, or whatever it is.
Right. So, like for some things, like some things that you may not want, like on the Tribe podcast, or.
Oh, that's definitely a private coaching.
Right.
Scenario.
If you like want. Maybe your accountability group knows about it, but you don't want the whole world to know about it. You know, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So private coaching, and you sign up for private coaching through the website?
On the website under Get Coached.
Under Get Coached. All right. Miss Kathy, Merry Christmas.
Merry Hope Christmas your to you.
Christmas is wonderful.
It's I want good you to see. Check back in with me and tell me how you, what you did and how you resolved this.
Well, so that was one thing in my, like in my work today, like one of the self-care things that I've done for myself is just put it on my calendar for the coaching calls and just look back through my journaling for the week and find out what I need to get coached on and just go ahead and like do that for me. Just get coached. Like even if it's something quick and small or if it's something bigger, and that can be maybe some self-care.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much. You have a great weekend or great holiday.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Ala, you're next. Where are you, Ala?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Let's see if we can get your video started.
I see myself.
I'm sending you a little, I'm asking you to start your video. You're not getting a little, any little things?
I'm not. It's saying stop video because I press start video myself before you sent it to me. Should I stop and then restart?
Yeah, try stop and restart.
Okay, and then just start video again. Okay.
I still don't see you.
You don't see me.
Is your camera covered up? You're where?
Yeah, I'm seeing myself and I'm seeing you.
Hmm.
Okay. I'm in the airport, but okay. I've been, no.
Okay, well, go ahead and tell me what you need.
Okay, yeah, I'm traveling for work this week and next week, and I wanted to get on the coaching call. So one of the things that I have been working on and where I need feedback on is really being more consistent. So in terms of, November was the most successful for me. I went back.
Hey, Ala, you're really breaking up. Are you walking around? Oh, she's gone. I was afraid that was going to happen. So let's take the next person and I'll watch for her. Oh, maybe she's back.
Yeah.
Hey, your signal is really
bad. It is. Oh, because I just called and it was fine. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in the airport. It doesn't even work.
Okay. Yeah, I can't understand you at all. Either if you'll try and find a stronger signal or pop in next week or something like that. If you find a stronger signal, I'll pull you up later in the call. Will that work?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's fine.
Well, that's unfortunate. Okay, Deanna, let's see what you got. Hello.
Hi.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. And you?
I'm good. What's up?
The last few overeats that I've had, I noticed that I was thinking I should keep going.
Okay.
And then I heard the other voice saying, no, you want to stop, you want to do less damage.
Okay.
So I was wondering if that was a if that was a helpful thought.
What do you think?
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first thought was, I blew it, so I might as well keep going and enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple times I did keep going, and then I was really, really regretful.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not used to eating like that, and I felt, you know, really sick. Mm-hmm. Well, not sick, just uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, I really don't like feeling this way anymore. Like, I'm not used to feeling this way anymore, so I don't want to overeat. So that was good.
Yeah.
And then I did the model while I was waiting, the mm-hmm. intentional model.
Mm-hmm.
I overate, but I didn't blow it because I can learn from it.
Okay.
And then the feeling was empowered.
Okay.
The action was don't eat more. And then I had a few different results, so I'm not sure.
Let's talk about this action first.
Okay.
So when you feel empowered, is that really the action? That you'd not eat more, or, you know, the not eat more part happened up here in the model somewhere, right? Because the C line is you stopped eating, right?
Oh, okay. Oh, I had the C line as I overate, but maybe.
Well, you're talking about how you overate, but you didn't blow it, and you can learn from it. And you told me you stopped eating.
Yeah.
Right?
Some of the times I did, yeah.
Okay. And when you have this thought, I didn't blow it and I can learn from this, you feel empowered, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you feel empowered because of that thought, is the real action you don't eat more? What is it?
I guess, like, think about what happened.
Okay.
Dissect it. What else? Try to figure it out.
Right. Figure it out. You do your recovery worksheets,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
You look for trends, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You try on new thoughts?
Yeah, because that's part of the recovery. Like, what would I try to think mm-hmm. next time? A lot of times when I do recovery and it asks about a resistance thought, mm-hmm. I really don't have resistance thoughts.
And that's okay. Yeah.
Okay.
That's okay. Okay. That actually, we have rewritten the recovery worksheet for the new No BS, and that question's coming out because a lot of people, you know, they might have a fleeting, oh, I really shouldn't do this while they're eating, you know, and it's
that's usually what I write. I shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
That's as much as I resist.
It's really, if you think about it in the context of what you're trying to do with a recovery worksheet, it doesn't really add any value anyway. That question does. Doesn't. Okay. And most people are asking, like, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, because I feel like I don't resist, and that's...
Right, because you've overeaten, right? There's no resistance. Well, I suppose there are some people who sit with the urge, and they have the thoughts, you know, while they're white-knuckling the urge, they might have the thoughts, I really shouldn't do this, but I really want this. And you know, that fight that goes on in your head before you actually go face down?
Yeah.
So I think that's probably... Oh. But it really, I don't know that it's helpful to go that direction. Anyway, so the result of this model, after you dissect, you figure some stuff out, you do your recovery worksheets, you look for trends, you try new thoughts. The result is what? What do you think?
Learn. Mm-hmm. Learn so I can maybe get a hold of it sooner.
Yeah. You just make progress.
Yeah.
Towards your solution, right?
Yeah.
Because that's really good active actions that lead to progress towards your whatever your goals are.
Okay.
whether they're, you know, a weight goal, a stop overeating goal, or whatever it is. Right.
I guess for those times when I did keep going, I was wondering what thought I could try. Like when I had that thought, oh, I might as well keep eating.
Okay.
So what came to me was, it does matter, because if I eat more, I'm going to gain more. But it's not necessarily a direct result, mm-hmm. you know.
Is that, well, let me ask you this. Is that really in the moment when you're eating, does that really latch on for you? You know, if you eat another popsicle, you're going to gain more weight. Does that really matter in the moment that you're overeating?
No.
Yeah. What matters in the moment that you're overeating? What would be that, you know, when you're eating, what would be that thought? If it says, if you're saying, I should really eat some more here. I can have some more. What would really matter to you? What would really make you pause? What would really give you the pause?
Maybe I know that we're not supposed to make a question in the thought, but something like that, why do I want to eat when I'm not hungry?
Yeah, I don't think that's maybe a problem at all. I mean, we're not doing a model on this. I'm asking you, what could you tell yourself? What's important to you?
Yeah.
And if you ask yourself, what am I, you know, why am I doing this? You know, what am I really hungry? You know, if that's a question that has you pause for a minute before eating or while you're eating, then it's a good question. If that's what's going to make you pause, if it's a thought like you're just going to gain more weight and that gives you a pause, then that's a good one. But you said that really doesn't work for you.
Yeah. I have to try that. I have to like try different things and see what works. But I think that I did pass the thought through my mind and it didn't really latch.
So
about gaining weight.
The interesting thing about asking yourself a question is that when you give yourself a question, when you give your brain a question, it starts looking for the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be a good thing for you to try, is to come up with what question you can ask yourself while you're eating that might give you a pause to try and figure out the answer. And it could be, why am I eating right now? But you might already know that answer. It could be, is this what I really want? Is this food what I really want in this moment? What is it I really want in this moment? You know, something like that. What am I really looking for here? What do I want relief from? You know, find that question that causes you, that creates that pause for you, so that you can really truly at least take a minute to evaluate. And if you keep eating, you keep eating, then you do your assessment on the back end. If you don't keep eating, then you may have found something that, you know, you can put your brain to work on solving for you.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I need to get in the habit of pausing to assess and to ask questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ask them, make sure they're not questions like, use your tools from the powerful question. Mm-hmm. You know, make sure it has some kind of productive response, right? Don't ask yourself, you know, why are you such a loser in this moment or something? You know, that's not going to give you the right kind of pause.
Well, that's why I feel like I don't have resistance thoughts, because I don't like yell at myself about not eating. I don't, you know, say those kind of things to myself, thankfully.
Well, some people, sometimes it's helpful for some people to find the resistance thoughts, and sometimes it's not. I find that resistance really isn't terribly helpful. You know, resistance is hard. It's not allowing the feeling to be there. It's really fighting with it.
And
when you fight with something, that's, you know, it takes willpower, and you only have so much of that.
Okay. There's something else if it's okay. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I've been doing a lot of work on my job and my thoughts about my job. And yesterday, I realized something that was in the back of my mind a long time, which was that I feel or I think I can't be happy if I'm not happy at work, I can't, I find it hard to be happy outside of work because I'm thinking about it.
You know, that's a thought.
Yes.
Okay. If I can't be happy at work, I can't be happy outside of work. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. What's that feeling?
I put despair in my model.
Okay. And when you feel despair, how do you act?
I act like cranky. I'm not present outside of work, thinking about the rest of life.
Mm-hmm. And that result, you just fulfilled your prophecy that you're not happy outside of work.
Yeah.
Not happy anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not happy anywhere. So let me ask you this. Whoops. Anywhere. Is this thought the truth?
No, it's not the truth. I can try to figure it out. I can try to figure out how to be happy outside of work.
What is happy?
A feeling.
Yeah. What creates a feeling?
Thoughts. Right. Mm-hmm. So I have to go. So I should do some intentional models with happy in the feeling, right?
Or do some intentional models about how you want to feel outside of work. Okay.
Okay.
Happy might not be it. You know, calm might be it. Peaceful, comforted, you know, whatever. It doesn't have, you don't have to go all the way to happy. But okay. Maybe you just don't want to be unhappy or whatever feeling that you are at work. See if you can separate the two.
Yeah, that's what I'm having trouble with.
Like, because I suspect whatever your thought is about work, it sucks or whatever. In your action line, you have worry or overthink or something like that.
Yeah, ruminate. Yeah.
Ruminate. Oh, I love that word. That's what you're doing outside of work. That's creating the result of, you know, unhappiness and whatever outside of work as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
We could probably put ruminate right here in this action line.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is present a feeling? Like if I say I want to be present outside of work, aware, yes. Maybe
present, aware. Those are feelings. When I put not present here, that pretty much, when you said that, I took that to mean that, you're withdrawn. You mm-hmm. withdraw, you know, which to me, withdrawing is an action.
My mind is elsewhere.
You're, that's because it's ruminating.
Yeah.
And overthinking.
Okay.
Have you listened to the Worry Bucket podcast?
Worry Bucket? No. Is that life coach?
No, it's a losing 100 pounds podcast. Oh, okay. Corinne coaches me. Mm-hmm. We talk about how I am the inspiration for the Worry Bucket because I am very good at worrying, or I was.
Okay.
I'm still pretty good at it, but not as good as I used to be. I think it's number 65.
Okay.
And it was actually birthed because I was also ruminating about work,
mm-hmm.
a lot about work. So not this work, my old job.
Yeah.
I think it's number 65, the Worry Bucket. I would go ahead and listen to that and see if you can use that tool. Basically what it does is you decide ahead of time what time of day you're going to worry. You're going to think about this job. Okay. Okay. And my worry bucket was 4 to 4:30 every day. It was on my drive home from work.
Mm-hmm.
And when I would find myself going down the rabbit hole about it, I would tell myself, no, it's not 4 o'clock yet. At 4 o'clock, I can go down the rabbit hole as long and as hard as I want to until 4:30.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
That's basically how the worry bucket works. And it worked for me. It's effective. So I would listen to that one and see if you can
get
some tools from that. Okay.
All right. I will. Thank you.
All right. See you later. Right.
Have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Chris, you're next.
I'm unmuted.
Yep, I can hear you.
Start my video. I'm really
there. You are. Hello.
Oh, I do see myself. Okay, it's a little dark.
That's okay.
Okay.
What's up?
I can't believe I'm here. I guess everybody that comes on says they're nervous, but two thoughts. I joined PNP last January, and since then I've lost 35 pounds, and my total weight loss has been 170.
Wow, good for you. That's amazing.
And I joined the tribe because I knew that the thought work was my next step. Mm-hmm. And what I really wanted. So I guess I've got two questions or concerns or thoughts. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be more aware of my thoughts during the day. I took some notes just because I knew it's hard to think when you're nervous. And I can be very disconnected from my thoughts and my emotions. Mm-hmm. And I've been working a lot on waiting until I'm hungry to eat. So I've been doing on the clock a bunch of times a month, which I love. I love on the clock. And I'm becoming more aware of my thoughts, which is what I said I wanted, but which I'm not always thrilled with what they are. It's pretty basic. It's, is it time to eat?
Uh-oh, she's frozen.
Are we going to go out to eat? Is it time to eat? And those thoughts go away more. But I guess having the curtain pulled back has been, I don't know, it's a little depressing. So
why is that depressing?
Well, they're not productive and they're not thoughtful thoughts. They're just sort of obsessive.
Okay, that's a thought.
Okay.
All right, so the C line is, I think, is it time to eat?
Yes.
Your thought is?
I'm not hungry.
No, that's not productive.
Yeah. And I know I'm not. If I was hungry, then it would be productive. But this is just
not a productive thought.
Yes.
When you think that, how do you feel?
Frustrated with myself.
Mm-hmm. Right. And when you're frustrated with yourself, what do?
Nothing positive.
Nothing positive. I'll give you that.
Basically, I've done a lot. I've been doing a lot of models. I started in September working on the models with the new journal page. And yeah, it just perpetuates that negative cycle of worry, obsessing, and not getting anything productive done and not
on anything. And it's all because you have a judgment about something you're thinking.
I do, you're right.
That is on, probably just on the habit cycle.
Yeah.
Is it time to eat? Should we eat? Oh, what time is it? Maybe we should eat. So what if that's not a problem? Do you know how many thoughts you have a day?
Oh, it has to be millions? Thousands? Hundreds?
I have heard Corinne say 60,000 thoughts a day.
Yeah.
Do you think all 60,000 thoughts need to be productive?
No.
No. You just have one that's on repeat.
Yes.
And that's okay. Why is that a problem?
Because I get, now that I'm hearing it, I get tired of hearing it.
So just say, no, I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
Answer it.
And then I try to do other things. I listen to podcasts. I read, I knit, I do my exercises, you know.
So how old are you?
I am 51.
So you have 51 years.
Oh,
How long has it taken you to lose 170 pounds?
I started 2 years ago.
Okay. So 49, were you always overweight?
Yeah.
Okay. So you have 49 years of practicing the thought, am I hungry? Am I hungry? Should I eat? What makes you think just because you don't like the thought, it's going to go away?
Well, in 2 days, it should magically.
It's not going to.
For about 2 days.
It's not going to. If I were you, I would totally make a game of it. I would count how many times a day I say that thought. And I would thank myself at the end of every day that I did not give in to, but however many times you ate that day. So let's say you heard that thought 35 times today, yeah. but you had three meals. Look yeah. at me, 32 unanswered suggestions to eat. I am hot stuff here.
Oh gosh, Kathy, you're great.
I mean, seriously.
You thought, yeah.
It's all in the perspective you give it. If you're judging the thought as bad and unproductive, it's just going to frustrate you. But if you change the thought about that C line to, I am so good. I've lost 170 pounds. I know how to say no. I'm not hungry right now.
Yeah.
Then you become more confident and empowered.
Yeah. Which leads to my second question. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. When I started, my compelling reason was, well, health stuff got me started, type sure. 2 diabetes. But as I've lost weight, my compelling reason has really become, I want peace with food.
Okay.
I want peace at the end of the day. I want to have eaten either what was on my plan or according to my protocol.
Okay.
And I knew that there were the obsessive food thoughts. I wanted to be able to redirect those, I guess.
Mm-hmm. What if they're not obsessive?
It feels obsessive.
That's a thought.
Yeah, just like the last question. Mm-hmm. I'll work on that and I'll re-listen to this because I can tell this is really helpful.
Yeah.
But I've made a lot of progress. I'm feeling much more peaceful with food. At the end of most days, I'm able to check that I have followed my plan.
Mm-hmm.
Feels amazing. And I've written to ask coaches before about wanting to eat out less, but we eat out a lot. We're eating out less. So a lot of my major goals I have reached or working on or feel more in control of. And I thought when I got there that the weight loss would be more predictable and consistent, and my body still goes up and down, which I know is normal, but every time it goes up, it just kicks up those old thoughts of, I'm doing so well, what if I can't do this? What if what I do is not enough?
Yeah. So you think you shouldn't have those thoughts too?
Yes.
Poof, done. Seriously, those thoughts are normal. That's what I want you, I really want you to hear this. Just because you lose weight doesn't mean the chatter stops, the chatter in your head stops. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What happens is you begin to answer the chatter and you don't give it as much weight in your life.
Yeah.
So let's think about the model again. Okay. Yeah. If you have, tell me what the thought was. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this.
Yeah.
What if that showed up in your model, right? Let's say you had a gain.
Yeah.
And this thought, I don't know. I cannot write today. I don't know if I'll do this. I can do this.
Yeah.
Right? I can do this.
Yeah.
Shows up. And that's it.
Yeah.
You just stop it right there. You know what? That's just a thought. It's a thought I'm thinking. And that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't have to let it land. I don't have to let it create doubt or anything because I've lost 170 pounds. I obviously can do something.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I had a little gain this week. Let's just reassess. Maybe
and
that's
I'm
the new
with
thought.
My voices today.
Yeah.
Which is key also.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So sometimes you see a thought come in and you just decide it's not going to go any further in your model than that. It's not going to create a feeling. You're not going to create a result out of it. It's just a thought.
Okay.
And it's one I'm just going to choose is not relevant right now in this moment.
Okay.
So Corinne is talking a lot these days about questioning your thoughts.
Uh-huh.
Question everything. This thought, I don't know if I can do this. If you actually really examined that thought without emotion, you know, what would you tell yourself? If I said, I want you to tell me what this, you know, is this thought really true? What would you tell me?
Well, I'd say that at the end of most days, I'm happy with my choices. So if I need to tweak something, I'll be able to do that. And it just takes time.
Right. Because that's the logical part of your brain saying, I have some tools here. I had a gain. I can figure this out.
Yeah.
Right. It's that primal part of your brain that's not wanting to work real hard, that back part.
Yeah.
It's not wanting to work real hard because it's busy, you know, making sure your heart's beating and your lungs are working. That's going, maybe we shouldn't really work hard. If we, you know, throw a little doubt up here, then, you know, we won't have to think about this anymore. And I can get back to making sure your heart beats.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, or I might get to eat extra off-plan food, which is... Yeah.
That's always great, right?
Oh, my kitty just, that was my kitty just passed through.
Yeah. Does that help?
Yeah, it does. I just wanted to also say that I had a therapist named Kathy that I saw for about 20 years, and she's retired. But your presence is very much like hers.
Oh, thank you.
And so that's amazing to still find that in my life. Thank you. And
you're welcome.
Shout out to the accountability. I'm in two accountability groups, Curvy Queens, who I know there's probably somebody here listening or they will, and then Lighten Up. And anybody who's not sure about taking a chance on accountability groups, that's been amazing for me. Okay. And taking the time to find ones where you fit and it works.
That's awesome. Good to know. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for your time, Kathy.
You're very welcome. See you soon.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Sharon, you're next. Then Andrea. Sharon?
Do you see me?
Not yet.
There we go.
There you are. Hello.
Oh, okay. I saw myself big. I was like, I definitely want to see that.
What's up?
I probably should come to your relationships workshop, but I can't afford it. But I have
girl, it's Christmas time.
Yeah. Well, nobody's going to spend that much money on me. But but I'm sort of thinking like, should I charge it, you know, to make it worthwhile? Because my boyfriend and I have a lot of issues. We've been dating for about 3 years, and the big issues arise out of his criticizing my parenting or other people's parenting, because I don't think very highly of his parenting and the way his children are. And so it just seems to me like he has no self-reflection if he's criticizing other people's parenting. And so I get really, like last night he criticized my daughter for eating quickly. And it wasn't to her face, she wasn't here, but and she does eat quickly. It's something she's really anxious about. Her father would yell at her all the time at dinner, and we had a very dysfunctional time when she was young. And so I think she's just trying to eat to get past, you know, having to even eat because she was always criticized all the time while she was eating. So it's a big issue for her. But when he said that, I could have said, yeah, you're right, she's working on it, because I know she's working on it. But instead, I was like, yeah, you know, you and she and Brandon both eat really quickly, and Brandon is his son. Mm-hmm. And so then it just went one step after another from one big another to everything he doesn't like about me right now. Like, I'm working a lot because I'm trying to pay off some debt and get some savings, and just spiraled out of control. And, you know, I heard, I don't know if it was you or Betsy say, like, you know, everybody's entitled to their thoughts, or, you know, it's none of my business what other people think or something like that. But it's like hard to get to that point, I guess. You know, I did a model with it, and it's like, you know, he says she eats too fast, and it's like, how dare he judge my children when, you know, his children are what they're like. And I mean, they have complicated issues, I know. So I just don't like it when he criticizes my children.
How dare he judge my children?
Exactly.
All right. So, what's his name?
Steve.
Dave.
Steve. S-T-E-V-E.
Steve. Sorry.
That's okay.
Steve said she eats too fast. Mm-hmm. Okay. How dare he judge my children?
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel?
Angry.
Angry. And when you feel angry, you do what?
Basically, argument with him, you know.
You argue. What else?
I think mostly just argue. We argued a lot about it.
Okay. What do you think this result line is?
The huge fight is we ended up angry with each other and, you know, sleeping on opposite sides of the bed, mm-hmm. speaking this morning, you know, that mm-hmm. kind of thing.
So you slept on opposite sides. Let's talk about this argument. You said stuff about his kids too, right?
Correct. Which I know is wrong.
About his parenting and his kids, right?
Right.
So the result is you judged him back.
True.
Okay. This is why you need to come to Relationships Weekend. Because Betsy's right. He's allowed to have an opinion. He's allowed to have his own thoughts. You're not going to change either one of those.
Right.
Okay. But when you allow this thought to take hold, how dare he judge my children? There's no question how that one's going to show up. You're not going to, because when you get into this argument, you're both just going to buck up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Uh-huh. Because he's obviously got thoughts and you do too. Right?
Right.
So when you get down to the result line, nothing's resolved.
Right.
Because you've had an argument, you've thrown stuff back, you know, thrown words back at him, opinions back at him, and you've judged him in return. So that's how unproductive this became. And you know that, right? Because that's why you're on this call. So what do you think you should do?
Well, I feel like I should just not respond, I guess, is the best thing. Like, that's his thought. I mean, because the thing is, he was right. But I mean, like, his son, like, will eat at dinner and have stuff all over his face and stuff. You know, it's like, how dare you?
He wasn't talking about his son, though. He's talking about your kid.
She eats pretty quickly. But mm-hmm. I mean, but, and then it became, you know, she's a, you know, scholarship student with straight A's, you know, mm-hmm. and college doesn't matter because he didn't go to college. You don't need college, you know, blah, blah, blah.
So now we're into my kids better than yours.
Probably, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She can eat fast because she's going to college. Your kid, on the other hand, he's just a flat out mess all the way around.
True.
So really what you said a minute ago when you said he's right, why can't you just stop there?
I don't know.
What is driving you to continue the argument? Because you said he's right, but
right.
blah, 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 blah. So what's going on in your mind that you have this urge, because essentially it's what it is, to fight back, to judge back, to compare, to...
I feel like I'm protecting my daughter from his judgments by...
Are you protecting your daughter?
You know.
Is it your daughter you're protecting?
Is my daughter my what?
Is it your daughter you're protecting?
Oh, good point. Am I protecting myself?
Mm-hmm. Because you started the call. Didn't you start the call by saying he judges my parenting?
True. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what if he does?
It doesn't seem fair.
You think he's the only person in the world who judges your parenting?
No, I'm sure not. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what if he were to say, Sharon, you have the best kids ever. You must be the most fantastic mom in the country. That's judging.
True.
It's an opinion, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you go back and go, oh no, Steve, your kids are better. I'm telling you.
No.
No. No. So this is what I want you to watch for. Okay. When is it okay for him to have an opinion and when is it not? Mm. And it's usually when it becomes personal to you because you get your back up, you get defensive.
Right.
So if we put defensive in the feelings line, it's probably because the root cause here is a thought he's judging me. Right? And the action is fight back.
True.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the result is distance in the relationship. Okay. Ultimately, I think what you want, if you care about the Steve,
mm-hmm.
is the result you probably want is to nurture the relationship.
True.
Right? Is to advance the relationship or just be tolerable in the relationship. I don't know. Whatever you're, but fighting back because you're defensive, because you have a thought he's judging me, when he's just got an opinion, he just has a thought. He's running his model over there and it's probably, you know, her kid eats fast, you know, and with no feeling. There's probably like, or maybe it's judgy, or maybe it doesn't matter because it's his model.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to work on, when it comes to a relationship, is your model and how you show up and how you contribute to the relationship. If it's a relationship that you want to nurture, you have to look at how you contribute to it.
True.
Right? And if it's defensive, you're probably not contributing real well.
True.
That's my thought, but there might be others that agree.
Right. I'm sure. It was embarrassing to me to get on the call, but it's like, I wanted to make some progress mm-hmm. on the issue, you know,
embarrassing to be on the call?
Well, I just feel like other people don't have the same problems, you know?
Does that matter? That's why I'm here.
Yeah. True.
Why are you crying?
I mean, I barely slept last night. And then this morning we were, you know, barely talking. And it's like, you know, it's like the good parts of the relationship get eclipsed by these jabs at each other about our parenting, you know, which, I mean, it's definitely a consistent issue, mm-hmm. you know, and both of being defensive about the reason our children are the way they are, you know.
So how would you describe your parenting?
I was not a very good parent, to be honest, because I was
that's the problem right there. It bothers you that he judges your parenting because you're judging your parenting.
It seems like such a simple issue, like eating, really? You know, like, I mean, to me, like, it's like, you know, it became almost like she won't be able to have a job or friends because she eats too quickly. I mean, really? You know, like, I don't think that means.
And who, let's go back. Okay. If you're judging your parenting, how are you showing up as a parent?
Probably a little nervous and anxious.
Right. This is another relationship for you to work on. How you show up as a mom with your daughter, who you just told me is a straight A student?
Correct.
And going to college?
Correct.
And you were not so good parent? You're a little hard on yourself because she eats fast. So just watch for that, okay? That's what I want you to watch for. How are you showing up as her mom And how are you showing up as the girlfriend? And is that ultimately what you want to do? Is that the person you want to be?
True.
That's what a relationship is all about.
Right.
It's about what you want it to be and how you want to show up for it and how you want to nurture it. And understanding the person that you're having the relationship also has a whole big jumble of thoughts in their head, just like yours.
True.
Right?
True.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Did that help?
Yes, it helped.
All right. Got anything else?
No, that's all.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye. Andrea. Oops. Hang on. All right. Unmuted you. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. That's a lot. That's close. There's two back.
That's all right. What's up?
All right. So I wrote in to ask coaches. I'm angry with my coworker. Happy holidays.
Okay.
And I just don't know. I'm not sure how to get beyond, like, I've done some models and I've thought, like, okay, she can feel how she wants to feel. She can act how she wants to act. And, you know, I can't do anything about that. But, gosh, you know, I mean, something will happen. I'll just suddenly be mad. We had a little incident 3 years ago and I spent a lot of time apologizing to her, trying to make it up to her, doing things that I was like, I can't fucking believe I'm doing this for this girl who's mean to me, but I wanted her to get back to the way things used to be. And I know that that's a problem right there. I know that's a problem, but I was thinking for the sake of like the work environment, maybe I could just suck it up a little bit longer. And I just kind of had my breaking point. And this past summer, I was like, you know what? Screw that. I'm just done. I'm done bending over backwards. It's going to be good morning, good night, have a good weekend. That's it. But things have gone a little haywire. And anyway, I'm just trying to figure out a way that I can stop being, I'm really angry. I mean, I'll be fine. And then all of a sudden, I'm super angry. And I don't want to be super angry, you know? I mean, I don't want to do that.
Why are you angry?
I think because I'm maybe angry at myself that I wasted, I don't even want to say wasted my effort, but I did things, I really bent over backwards, and that's not necessarily my nature. I'm kind of a fighter, you know, I stick up for myself and I really just like laid down and.
Tell me what you did when you bent over backwards. Tell me what just, okay. You know, just give me, but what can we put in the C line here that you actually, you know, what does it look like? What did you do? You apologized. I heard you say that.
Yeah, I apologized. I continued to ask her like, oh, how was your weekend? How are you? No reciprocation, you know, how was your vacation?
Okay.
When I came back from vacation, she would like just completely ignored me. You know what I mean? Things like mm-hmm. that, like big family events, I would ask her questions and be interested.
Okay.
She did not do that for me to the point where our new boss was like, why is she so mean to you?
Okay.
And when he said that to me, I was like, you know what? You're fucking right. I'm done. I'm done with this girl. It's been 3 years.
All right. So you did these things. And you're angry. Why?
I'm angry because it got me nowhere. Like going
it
against.
Got me nowhere.
It got me nowhere. Going against how I feel. My child's probably like lurking out there.
Well, let me ask you this. When you did these things,
mm-hmm.
That's kind of another model over here. I want to do this. This is interesting. So talk, apologize. We're going to put these in the action line of the model. This is the past model. This is what happened in the past. Okay. You talked to her. You apologized. How did you feel when you did that?
Well, initially it's hard to apologize, but I understand that I have a part in our conflict. So when I apologized to her, I did it thinking I want to accept responsibility for what I've done wrong. I want to, like, I know that I have a part in this, you know, and I was apologizing. And then the other part of that is I was apologizing because I thought, you know, if I apologize, that's a step in the right direction to maybe us getting back to getting along. When someone can't admit their own responsibility, I feel like it's hard to move forward.
All right. So when you said, I know I have a part in this, and you talked and apologized, what was the feeling?
My guilt. I mean, I felt guilty. Okay.
All right.
I suck.
In your relationship, though, that's a thought.
Yeah.
So then the, not relationship, R is result, is what? You accepted responsibility.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is how you decided to show up in this relationship with your coworker. Responsibility. I don't even know if y'all can see that, but it says accepted responsibility. This is work, coworker, whatever. Okay. Now, this is how you decided to show up.
Yeah.
Okay. With responsibility. You didn't have an agenda for her to accept it or anything, did you?
No, I just thought it was important that I admit it.
Okay.
For my own part.
All right. So now we take this model and we put it in this C line. I apologized. I accepted responsibility. I did all these things. It got me nowhere. What does this mean? It got me nowhere.
It means that she's still awful to me. She's
right.
She's still awful to me. And I,
because you had an agenda for how she should respond.
Yeah, no, I did. I mean, a lot of it was definitely done with the thought that I want to smooth things over and make the working relationship better.
Okay.
For sure.
You can 100% do that every time you go to work. She can choose to say, I want nothing from her.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you're pretty close to making that choice right here on your action line.
Right? Oh, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That result, you know, we get nowhere is what that'll create. And is that what you want? You okay with that?
Well, you know, it's kind of in my nature. I want to get along with people. I want to have a good relationship.
But do you want one? What's her name?
I can't force that, you know? So
what's her name?
Amy.
Amy. Do you want a good relationship with Amy?
I do. I do want a good relationship.
How do you get a good, what do you think a relationship is?
I just don't want
relationship is give and take in your mind. If you were to show up every day and go, hey, Amy, what's up? And be, you know, whoever you want to be, it's up to her whether or not she wants to reciprocate.
Right.
You can go in every day being however you want. You can go in being angry or guilty or carefree or I don't give a crap, whatever feeling that is, ambivalent. you get to decide.
Right.
And right now you're choosing angry because you're not getting the response you think she should give you.
That's true. I mean, that's when I, like this past summer when I decided, like, I'm done with this asking how she is and how her weekend is, this bullshit. I felt better just for myself. Like, I had more self-respect knowing that I was just leaving it to the good morning, good night, you know, have a good weekend. Mm-hmm.
Why does that give you more self-respect?
I don't know, because I feel like I'm not being a chump. You know what I mean? I'm not groveling for her.
That's it. You're judging yourself, just like Chris was judging her parenting.
Right?
I'm being a, if I talk to this girl, I'm being a chump.
Right.
That's your thought.
Yeah.
Right? What if I talk to this girl, I like how I show up at work.
Because that's
ultimately what you're doing is right. you're deciding how you're going to show up at work based on how you think and feel and act around her.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have to reciprocate. She doesn't have to like you.
Right.
There's a podcast. One of the first ones I ever listened to by Brooke Castillo, the Life Coach School podcast.
Yeah.
Called Other People's Opinions.
Oh, I've listened.
Yeah. Not everybody likes peaches. Your dog right. is so stinking cute right outside that door.
Oh, my baby.
Oh, my gosh. He's just like, Mama.
I'm Grandma. I'm his grandma.
Grandma, whatever. I'm out here. Hello. Anyway, you know, she for those of you who haven't listened to it, she says, you know, if I'm a peach, I love peaches. I'm good with being a peach. I'm happy being a peach, but not everybody likes peaches. Mm-hmm. I have to be okay with that. Right?
So right.
you can be Andrea. You can show up however you want to. She gets to choose whether or not she likes you and responds. But whether you don't need her to validate your relationship, because the relationship is all about how you show up. It's just like Chris. She doesn't need Steve to validate her parenting skills.
Mm-hmm.
He's in charge of that.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. That's, I mean, I feel like that's how I was operating this summer. And.
But were you looking to change her mind about you? Did you have an agenda when you showed up and you went, hi, how was your vacation? Da, 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 whatever. Were you looking at how you were showing up, or were you looking to change her thoughts about you?
I know a lot of it is I wanted to change her thoughts. You know, like if I'm nice, maybe she'll be nice, you know, yeah. like, yeah. yeah, for sure. And then, I don't know. When I just scaled back to the, you know, good morning, have a good night, whatever, I felt better about it.
Because that's yeah. what you wanted to give to the relationship.
Right.
That's why you felt better about it. When you were pushing too hard, you were trying to get a reaction from her.
Right.
Right. And that's what felt icky.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, you know, you can't get a reaction from her, or you're taking your chances at what reaction you're going right. to get. And that's not really what you want out of that. What you want is to know, I mean, ultimately where you stand, and you want to know how you show up.
Right.
That's it. That's the beautiful thing about relationships, is if you show up knowing that you're being exactly the person you want to be, it ultimately doesn't matter what the other person does. If you're validating yourself and how you show up in the relationship, you don't need somebody else to like you.
And I hear that, but I have a lot of resentment towards her, and I don't know how to get back to, I don't know how to scale back that resentment, you know, like I seemed like I was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Then.
Why do you have the resentment?
So because of our conflict, my boss, I love my boss. He's great.
Mm-hmm.
He was like dealing with some of this stuff, and mm-hmm. I just said, I'll move. I'll just move my cube. I'll go to mm-hmm. the other area so then you don't have to deal with this nonsense.
Okay.
So I did that. And he's like, oh, good, because she would feel like she was exiled if she had to leave, you know, our area. So I did it. I did it for him, and I did it to make the situation better, because not seeing her makes me have a better day. But I miss it. I miss like being in that area with my boss. And I guess that's why I resent her. It's like, you're the problem.
Why not, are you speaking not here? Seeing her doesn't make you have a better day.
You don't think so? I think
no.
so. I sit right next to her.
See.
I sit right next to her and just
see. I don't see her is the C line.
Okay.
Better day is the feelings line.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thought about not seeing her.
I feel like the thought is, you know, she doesn't exist anymore.
Right. Out of sight, out of mind. Right?
Yes.
It's like if I don't have the chips in the pantry, I won't want them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, absolutely.
You made the choice to move. You need to own that choice and not resent someone else because he didn't make you move. She didn't make you move. You chose that.
Right. I mean, I did.
That's classic blame right there. I'm blaming you for my misery because I chose to move.
Isn't that fun, though?
It's a whole lot easier than taking responsibility for it, right?
Yeah, I know. It's a choice I didn't really want to do, but I felt it was like the best thing to do. You know, everybody can make decisions.
Why was it the best thing to do?
Because I felt like it just ended a lot of the drama.
Because you wanted your boss to like you because you took care of the problem.
Well, I knew he likes me. I know he likes me. But I did feel bad that he was dealing with extra stuff he didn't have to deal with before, you know? So yeah, I mean, I guess I wanted to make it easier for him for sure because, you know, I don't feel like he said, oh, good, she would have felt like she was exiled and she had to move. So I know, like, there's a little bit of, he doesn't want to deal with that, you know? And I want to make his life a little bit easier. So I did it. And I just need to come to terms with, like, making that decision. Yeah.
So how are you going to get, what are you going to do tomorrow for work? At work?
I don't know.
That's what your TDL needs to be tonight.
You
need
to
talk tonight about how you want to show up tomorrow at work.
Yeah.
Okay. Around her, with Amy. How are you going to, when you leave work tomorrow night, how can you leave feeling satisfied that you showed up your best?
That's a good thought.
Okay. The answer might be you totally ignored her all day. The answer might be you talked yourself off the ledge 14 times. You know, I don't know what it is.
My daughters have been making me memes of her, which kind of makes me happy.
Oh my goodness.
Does that makes me feel a little bit better.
That's another coaching call right there.
No, it makes me laugh. It does make me feel a little bit better.
But really think about how you want to show up. Because ultimately, you know, you probably don't want to come home angry or resentful tomorrow.
I don't. And I feel like that's kind of what's been happening. And you know.
And she is not causing any of that. You are causing all that yourself.
Yeah.
That's the ultimately the lesson here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I just need to focus on how I want to show up.
Yeah. What kind of day do you want to create for yourself?
I want to create a better day than what I've been having for sure.
You got work to do.
I know.
You got journaling to do.
I do.
That help?
It does. It helps. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay. See ya.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. I'm not sure who this is. I think I've coached you before that. BelinBGSU. Looks familiar. Let's see who this is.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
I'm good. I can't see you yet.
Okay. Oh, I just walked into the kitchen to let the dog out.
Oh, how are you doing?
Good. All right. My big thing that I'm trying to figure out and plan is I have my husband's work party tomorrow night.
Okay.
I've sort of set a protocol. Mm-hmm. 1 to 2 glasses of wine, 1 plate, and no second. Mm-hmm. I always feel uncomfortable there.
Okay.
So I'm not sure how comfortable I feel sticking with the protocol. Am I better off eating before I go and not eating anything there?
Well, why do you feel uncomfortable?
I feel like I just don't belong. I feel like I'm not smart enough. which I am. I know that logically, but my heart tells me I'm not, and I just don't feel like I belong there. I don't feel like I fit in.
Okay. I don't fit in, uncomfortable. And what do you do when you feel uncomfortable?
Either retreat, get very quiet, smile a lot, and then I will sneak the appetizers.
Okay. All right. And when you withdraw and eat, you're not trying to belong. You actually are like separating yourself from the rest of the group. Okay. So you're proving the thought that you don't belong by separating yourself, withdrawing emotionally and eating, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's your model. So let me ask you this.
That's why we want to do the model tonight. I have 24 hours to practice.
Right? So what if it's just uncomfortable? I mean, how often do you see his work people?
Once or twice a year.
Once or twice a year. So they're not your best friends. They're pretty much acquaintances. You don't have a lot to talk about. Is all that true?
Yes.
Okay. So what if that's just how it's going to go? What's the problem?
I don't know.
So we have a husband's Christmas party. Husband's work party.
And I know, right? I don't know is not the right answer.
Husband's work party. Let's do this. This is going to be fun. We're going to really make this C line very defined. Husband's work party. Let's see. How many people will be there? Roughly.
15 to 20.
Say 20 people. I see them twice a year. Okay. I think most everybody would agree that that's the C line. All right. And your thought is, I don't belong. And we've been through this model. Uncomfortable, withdraw, eat, all that. Right? And so I asked you, what if you're not expected to be best friends with these people because you see them once a year? Right?
Mm-hmm.
How would you want to show up?
Just happy because I'm with my husband.
Yeah. So what if this? Why are you happy because you're with your husband?
Because I love being with him.
Yeah. You're proud of him. You whatever, right? I love being. So the result here that we want is happy to be with my husband. Right?
Mm-hmm. And if I stick to my plan, that will also make me happy.
All right. So we'll put that in the action line. Stick to plan. Which sounds actually sounds very doable. You know, two drinks, one plate full of food. I mean, you can put anything on the plate?
Mm-hmm.
Just one plate? Yeah, that's totally doable. What else? What other actions would make you okay with being there because you're happy to be with your husband?
I will dress extra nice.
Okay, I look pretty. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Dress nice.
Shave my legs.
Oh my goodness, shave my legs. Okay. What else? You'll smile. You're smiling right now. Will you be nice to his people?
Absolutely.
Okay. So all these actions require you to feel a certain way.
Confident.
Okay.
And I think that's where the I don't belong comes in. And I don't deserve to be there. I think the poison.
Confident is probably a stretch.
Okay.
How about comfortable or calm or aware? How about aware?
Ooh.
How about aware? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to a party with 20 people. They're your husband's work people. Connected, somebody said, that's a good one. You see him twice a year. You know you're not expected to be everybody's best friend. But you're going to this thing because you want to create this happy to be with my husband. Because you're proud of him, you love him, all that kind of stuff. And to do those things, you stick to your plan, you look pretty in your dress, you shave your legs, you smile, you're nice to people. What thought do you have to have?
I'm happy he wants me to be with him.
Yes. Yes. Doesn't this take the load off? You don't have to be anybody but you because you're happy he wants me to be with him.
And that's the thing that matters.
Yeah. So let's go back to the next line. Right. Let's go back to
the taking a picture of the model.
Wait, do you really want aware there or do you want something else?
Having fun.
How about Laura offered connected? No, you don't like connected?
No, I'm not feeling that.
All right. I'm happy. When you say to yourself, I'm happy he wants me to be with him, what do you feel?
Satisfied.
Okay.
The calm.
Calm. Calm is probably the best thing for this model because you're nervous about going because of the doubts you have about yourself. Okay. So if you can gin up calm by telling yourself, I'm happy he wants me to be with him, then you might have your model.
And I think it'll be a successful night. Mm-hmm.
You get to create the successful night in your mind with a thought. Right?
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
And with the thought, I have my action. Mm-hmm. The weigh-in will be pretty good the weigh-in is just going to be the weigh-in on Friday.
Yeah, but you're going to know when you leave that party whether or not you're happy with how you showed up.
Right.
Right? You're going to know if you created the result that you wanted. And you know that to do that, this is all you have to do. Shave your legs. Make sure you do it, right? Stick to your plan. Be nice to the people. That's all you got to do.
And I feel better already.
Well, very good. You feel better because you found a thought. That's your thought. You're the one who said that. You found a thought that you can latch on to.
Oh, thank you. Well, this is good.
You are very welcome. Have a wonderful time.
Bye. See you in April.
Oh, yay. Tell me what your name is.
Belinda.
Belinda. All right. I'm part of
the Good Vibe Tribe and Good Morning Ladies or Good Morning Beautiful Ladies.
I love it. I love it. Have a wonderful time tomorrow.
Thanks. Good night.
Good night. Bye. Gail, you're next. And if we go quick, we could get Teresa too. She's been waiting a long time. What's going on here? All right, Zoom has hung up on me. We're hanging here. Nothing's going. Maybe I'm clicking too much. Oh, okay, Gail is gone. Gail, I don't know what happened, but why don't you raise your hand again if you want to talk. Teresa, I'm calling you up. Let's see if Zoom acts better with Teresa. Okay.
Hello.
Yes, there you are.
Oh my gosh. Yay. I'm so nervous.
What's up?
So I made a list last night of about a million things I need coaching on or want.
Oh my goodness.
On.
A million.
So I won't do a million.
Okay. Good
but,
deal.
I figured I made it a goal of mine to get coached this month. So at least I'm trying. This is my first coaching call.
Good for you.
I joined in June.
Okay.
Since April. So on my list, I don't know which.
Teresa's frozen. Teresa.
Am I still there?
Yep, you're back now.
Okay, sorry. I'm at a hotel on a work trip. So I think right now the thing I'm dealing with most is feeling the feelings and actually like doing most of the mental work. So okay. I've lost a lot of weight and I'm journaling with the new planner. I'm, you know, using the little space, but I'm not really digging in to a lot of the stuff that is like bothering me and weighing on me. And I just don't know how to make that leap.
Why aren't you doing the work on what's bothering you?
Well, one is I'm really having a hard time finding time.
How much time does it take?
I don't know. For me, I feel like it takes a while to write and I don't know. It doesn't take that much, I guess.
No.
Well, that's a thought.
Yes. It's an avoidance.
It is. And I think I've been doing it pretty much my whole life. And
you have 10 minutes. Can you find 10 minutes every day to write?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
But what if I can't solve my problem in 10 minutes?
Then you would be normal.
I'm also a perfectionist.
But you also won't solve your problem if you don't start.
That's true.
Right?
So I need homework, I think.
Okay. What's the problem?
Well, I have like one big one is I'm feeling very overwhelmed with work and holidays and kids and travel and all that stuff.
Why do you feel overwhelmed?
I feel like I have so much to do and just not enough time.
There's time again.
I guess I'm not making the time, right?
Work, Christmas, family. I have so much to do and not enough time. Not enough time. So when you are overwhelmed, guess what you are doing?
What? Nothing. Right. And nothing well, I guess.
So you get nothing done. So when you are overwhelmed, your brain is spinning out in all the things you have to do, and it feels really super productive because you're thinking about all the things. You're making the plans. You're thinking about things. You're just not doing anything.
Right.
Your brain is working very hard, but you're not doing anything. Okay? The key to getting out of overwhelm is to do something. Okay? So when you feel that, give me an example of three things on your to-do list.
Get some Christmas presents for my kids. Okay. Go on several business trips between now and Christmas. And
all my work stuff.
All right. So if I were to tell you tonight, before you go to bed, you get on Amazon, you order one Christmas gift for each kid.
Oh, I could do that.
Right?
Right.
That's called action.
Yeah. It's like, okay. I have to just make the lists, right?
Well, so let's say you order the Christmas gifts. How do you feel now? You still feel overwhelmed?
Less overwhelmed, right?
Actually, when you are in the action of being on Amazon and buying the gifts, you are not overwhelmed at all. You're productive. You're conscious. You're active. You're doing something.
Right.
Overwhelm goes away when you just pick something and do it. Okay.
Yeah. I think I get stuck with wanting everything to be perfect, which I know I am a perfectionist, and I just read the book Finish, which I loved.
Yeah, I did
too. So it's like I have to start practicing.
Yeah. So what you if you read the book, I'm not going to coach you on perfectionism because he coached you for 250 pages on perfectionism. Right. But calling yourself a perfectionist is not helping you. That's what I would coach you on.
Yeah.
If you keep laying on that, you know, name for yourself, it just gives you an excuse not to start anything.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
So I used to call myself a recovering perfectionist until Corinne told me that you just need to stop saying that.
Okay.
It's okay. It's okay not to do things perfectly. That's what you have to start telling yourself. It's okay. Sometimes you just got to get things done.
Yes.
Right.
That's good.
Cause that's what perfectionists don't even start because they're worried it won't be perfect. That's the problem with being a perfectionist, not doing things perfectly. It's the worry about whether or not it's going to come out perfectly. And if you really look at life, not a lot ever comes out perfectly, whether you try
it
or not. You know, we're human. We make mistakes.
I have come so far since I found you and Corinne on the podcast with that whole aspect. Yeah. And I think just I've ended up with a lot of work trips at the end of this year, which I wasn't planning on. And I think that just like put me over the edge. I don't know. It just gave me way too much stress. So
what you have to do is tell yourself, I can figure out how to make Christmas happen while I'm on a work trip.
Right. That's a great thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can.
Yep. Oh, that's what I'll do after this call. Maybe I'll make my lists. So. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing I want you to do between now and your P&P homework is to do the Mastering Time course.
Okay. That'd probably be good.
It would be very good for you because you mentioned twice that you didn't have enough time. I'm going to tell you have 24 hours a day and you have to make sure it's enough.
It's your
ability to use it wisely.
Okay.
Because you're not ever going to have 25 hours. So you complain all day long that you don't have enough time. It's not going to get you anywhere.
Right. Well, and I've kept thinking like I want to do the Mastering Relationships because I know I have a manual for my husband and I have to, you know, get that under control. Yeah. But I think you're right with the time because I kept daydreaming of a pause button for everything except for myself. So. I think that's a good plan.
Do you, on your way home from this trip, are you flying or driving?
I'm flying.
Okay. Do you have the Private Member podcast?
I do. So I'm going to download all those.
Yep. The Mastering Time is in the Tribe Courses training.
Okay.
Go ahead and get the workbook somehow printed or if you have an iPad.
Oh, I can put it on my iPad.
Yeah. You'll, how long is your flight?
It's 3.5 hours.
Yep. That's plenty of time.
Oh, that's so good. What a great idea. Yeah. Thank you. I was so nervous to call in.
You got two pieces of homework. I know. You're going to go shopping tonight and you're going to do Mastering Time when you go home. Yes. See?
Thank you. Somehow I already feel better. So my next coaching call is going to be about feeling the feelings and not being so busy. So I think I use busyness as a buffer too. So that's a problem.
Yeah, but. Probably. So you're probably avoiding something else. Because you're busy.
Yeah.
And that's probably when you cultivate busy, it probably leads up to a little bit of overwhelm.
I think it's been my cycle for 20 years. So.
Oh, well, let's unwind that for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So
get to work.
Thank you. And I love you guys. You are the best. So thank you for changing my life.
You're
so I've lost 44 pounds.
Yay, that's great.
April 1st.
That's awesome. Good for you. So I love you the weight loss stories. All right, we'll see you.
And I'll meet you in April too.
Yay, that's awesome.
Okay. Thanks.
It's going to be 2020 is going to be amazing.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. See ya.
Thanks so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Gail, are you back? What happened to Gail? Okay, she had connection issues. Amanda, if we can be quick, I'll go ahead and take you, and you'll be the last one. I'm hungry. Time to fix some dinner.
Hi.
Hello. Hi. Uh-oh. What happened? It might be my fault, Amanda. Let's try again. Okay. Say.
Okay, can you hear
me? All right, that's it. Sorry about that. I think I got a trigger finger there.
Okay, I'll be quick.
That's what's up.
This is a work situation,
mm-hmm.
and I know my unintentional model.
Okay.
Okay, and it's mm-hmm. left me feeling unauthentic, like not like who I want to be, okay. the way I handle the situation.
Right.
So I need a model that will help me have strength to take it, like be authentic.
All
because
right.
it's going to change the dynamic. I'm in a very small office. I'm the owner and boss.
Mm-hmm.
And I've allowed this unintentional model for way too long.
Okay.
So I want to present myself in a different way.
Okay.
And I don't
how do you
know.
How do you want to present yourself?
Truthful, like honest, not mean honest, but just like honest that certain ways we've been aren't working. The talking about each other, the telling somebody else a problem because you have a problem with this person, but you're telling somebody else the problem, mm-hmm. that kind of situation's happening.
Okay. So
I feel like if I call people on it, mm-hmm. if I go to Jane, say her name is Jane and say, Jane, mm-hmm. if you have a problem because I'm paying somebody else differently, then you need to come to me. I'm going to be causing harm to the person that told me that. It's like eighth grade. It's like somebody said something about somebody and I'm going to call them on it, but then mm-hmm. they'll know who I heard it from. But this model, this is not.
What's the problem with any of this? If you're the boss, what do you need to do?
I need to just call people on it, own my shit. Mm-hmm. And be who I know I've become through this. Like, I know I'm not this person, but I'm being this person. So it's not settling well at all.
Okay. This person, the person that's, it's not settling well. What is are you avoiding the situation? Is that what's not settling?
Okay. Yes. I'm avoiding it, pretending it's not there and participating in it.
All right.
So I know my action is.
Handle the situation.
Right. Have the conversations. And I think the feeling is fear of being unliked or judged.
That's the unintentional model.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Okay, so have the conversations.
Yep. That's the action, right? I can't see it on my glasses on. Yep.
Be the boss.
Okay.
Right? Because you are. You're the boss. So you're going to act like the boss.
Okay.
What do you have to feel to have the conversations and be the boss?
Confidence and courage.
I'm going to give you courage. All right. So you're going to feel courage. You're going to have the conversations. You're going to be the boss. You're going to handle the situation. Result is the situation is handled. Right?
Right.
Addressed. I don't know if it's going to be handled or addressed. You're addressing the situation.
Right. Right.
What thought do you have to create courage?
It doesn't matter. I got to let go being liked or hurting somebody's feelings. I have to let go of what's right for them. I don't know.
Are you in charge of what's right for them?
No.
No.
Yeah. To me, that's always been selfish, though, Kathy.
What's selfish?
It's caring less about their feelings and more about myself.
Okay.
To me, and I'm learning
what
that's
if you're
not true.
Caring about yourself with this. What if you're caring about the business? Is your business being super productive with all this crap?
No.
Going on?
Nope.
So what if you're not showing up as Amanda, the person who likes the people that work with her? What if you're showing up as the boss and the person who owns the business because this has gone too far, there's too much backbiting, we're not getting the work done?
Yeah, so I feel like relationships are the most important thing, and putting the business in front of those relationships or hurting somebody's feeling, that's the old me that I've really worked hard to not do that, but I'm right in the middle of like a shitstorm about it.
What if it doesn't have to be one or the other?
Okay.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Corinne either likes me as a friend or likes me as a coach? Or do you think she can manage me, have me as a coach, and still have a glass of wine with me on the weekend if she wants to?
Oh, I think Corinne can do that for sure.
Yeah.
I think you can do that.
I think you can
accept criticism and you can accept correction, but I haven't fostered that in my office. I haven't fostered that I can go up to someone and say it's inappropriate that you're questioning what somebody else is getting paid without that turning into hurting that person's feeling, you know, making her embarrassed. I'm just reading so much into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I should care less about that and that it's just not right.
So here's the decision point for you. Which is more important? How do you want to show up tomorrow? You want to show up as the boss or you want to show up as the friend?
I'd prefer to show up as the boss.
Mm-hmm. So how would the boss handle this?
I think the boss would pull the person in that had the concerns that somebody's getting paid more and ask if they have any concerns about what people are being paid.
Mm-hmm.
And if she says no, just leave it, because now she understands that I know that she's...
Don't assume anything. I think I would be super direct with her. If she says no, then I don't want to hear again that there might be concerns about this in this office. Be the boss.
This is such a big step for me, Kathy, because this is like...
Yeah, it's uncomfortable.
Old me 101, and mm-hmm. I am sitting here in my bedroom because I do not want to be in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I am not eating these feelings.
What's wrong with the old me? I mean, seriously, were you really uncaring, or were you, did you just decide, did you just have some growth between now and then?
I think I've had some growth, but I'm struggling that I can have growth and still be a good person and still care,
mm-hmm.
but not... I'll be honest, this is the total truth. I was fake before. I would be overly sweet and sympathetic and kind, and in my head I'd be like, this is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I've got too much going on to pay attention to this, but I felt like I had to just make everybody happy to keep the office moving, and I'm at a point where it is not working for me, it's not working for my family, and I want to be more direct, but I don't want to be rude or mean about it.
Yeah. So can you be direct without being rude or mean?
I think I can, but it's so new that I'm like, it's like riding a bike. I'm on training wheels.
So what do you think you should do to cultivate direct without being rude or mean?
Encourage them to be direct also?
Maybe. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer here. I think this is something that you need to think about. What can I say to be direct without being rude or mean? How can I assert myself as the boss and still be their friend? How can I take care of my business and take care of the people in the business?
So in the past, I would have these conversations as a group and I'd be so generic
mm-hmm.
that I'm not sure. I thought I was being like really firm and clear, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure that the person causing the problem mm-hmm. really got the point.
Yeah.
So now I'm trying to be like, no, it's got to go to the person.
Yeah.
And I've had to be spoken to that way when I was younger, and I had, you know, and I respected my bosses immensely, but mm-hmm. now I have to do it, and I haven't embraced that.
So what you've seen is you've addressed this situation or similar situation in one way, and it didn't resolve.
Right.
So now as the boss, you pick the second way. You decide what the best second way is. This might not work either. You might have to have a third way. But in this, everything comes down to relationships. I'm just fascinated by that, right?
Your weekend is sounding more and more like,
yeah, I mean, but
right up my alley, right?
Oh my gosh, it's another relationship. But seriously, you have to decide how you're going to show up tomorrow in this relationship with all these people that work for you. Are you going to be the boss? Are you going to be the friend? Are you going to be the person who just, you know, turns a blind eye? Who are you going to be? What's best for you, and how do you take care of your well-being and your business in this? That's the decision you have to make ultimately. The, you know, handle the situation is in the
result line. A result, yeah.
Yeah, that you've taken care of the situation. You have to decide what the best actions are, and you work your way back up the model. Maybe confidence is the right, you know, maybe confidence does go here, right? And to be confident, you have to create a thought that allows you to handle the situation. Whether it's I have the skills, or I have the drive, or have the need. Whatever it is that you have that creates confidence to handle this situation is what you go in with.
I'm thinking it's responsibility. Like, I feel like I have to have the responsibility to my family. This is my family's business.
Right.
And I need to put my family first, but is it that wrong to put my family ahead of another individual? I don't know. That's what I got to work on, I think.
All right. Tell me what would be wrong about putting your family first.
See, the first thing is selfish. That's my internal voice.
Mm-hmm. That's your story about it.
My story.
What if it's responsible to put your family first?
I need to change it to. That's what I need to change it to.
Are you running a business to make money for yourself, or are you running a business to pay other people?
Make
ultimately,
money.
Yeah. Ultimately, you're not running a charity organization here, are you? To make sure you've got gainfully employed friends.
Right.
You're running a business to support your family.
Right.
So why is it selfish to put the business first in the business situation here?
So I think I'm going to do a lot of thought downloads on that. Yeah. And my need to be, I think my need to be liked, and that I need to reaffirm I have enough like true friends, mm-hmm. that the people my coworkers, we can be, you know, acquaintances, we can be even friends, but we don't have to be the good friends. Mm-hmm. We can be work friends. Mm-hmm. That my bucket's already full. I don't need to fill it here. You know, because I think a lot what I'm hearing from your program is that in order to be, you have to be content with yourself, because otherwise you're eating, you know, I'm eating all this away and I can't keep eating. It's like I'm 51 years old. I got to just be who I am and be okay with it.
Yeah. Eating doesn't solve it.
It does not.
That's what you have to tell yourself.
Thank you, Kathy. That does help. I'll re-listen to this as well, but I just was getting stuck. But I noticed you went from the bottom up.
I love working from the bottom up.
Yeah.
The reason is sometimes it's hard to find the thought. You know, it took us 15 minutes to find this thought. That I just started you thinking about it, right? You're the one who came up with it.
Yeah.
You knew what you wanted to happen, though.
Yes.
So if you decide the result that you want and you work your way up through the model, sometimes it's an easier way to create an intentional model.
Yeah.
So you just start with the result you want. Ask yourself, what do I have to do to achieve this? How do I have to feel to do those things? And what do I have to think to create that feeling? Then you have a model. We didn't do the C line, but it's handled, you know, the situation at work, whatever.
Yeah.
Then then you've got your model that works for you. Does this model work for you?
It does. Yep. And I think with doing thought downloads will give me that extra like confidence and strength and awareness. I mean, I just think I became really aware what was happening. And it felt so like, I felt so shitty not being who I knew I needed to be. Mm-hmm. That's when I was like, okay, you know, this is a pivotal moment. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It took a little bit longer.
Oh, that's all right. There's a real rub inside, internal rub inside when you're being inauthentic. It just feels icky when you know you're not being the person you need to be in the moment.
Right, right. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
See ya. All right, everybody. That is it for tonight. Coach Betsy will be back next Wednesday. And in the meantime, you'll have Corinne on Sunday doing weekly planning. And office hours. She'll do office hours on Sunday. There is a model call tomorrow night with me. I'll talk about the feelings line. So there was somebody on the call tonight who wanted, it was Teresa. If you're still here, you might check that call because I'll talk about feeling your feelings tomorrow night. Then at noon on Sunday, December 14th, Corinne has the big Zoom. Not Sunday. Noon on Saturday, December 14th, Corinne has the Zoom about the 2020 event announcements. So that's all I got. You guys have a good evening, and I will see you next time. Bye.